You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the cool again, stupid.
Okay, what's up? Welcome to the show. It's just me today. Alexis is not available today. But you know what? The show must go on, right, Mike?
The show must go on. No doubt.
Mike knows, okay? So I wasn't going to say, look, Alexis couldn't make it today, so, you know, let's take a break. I'm not going to say that because the show must always go on. So we have a special guest today covering for Alexis. Everyone, please welcome our special guest. Please walk through the door, sir. There he is. He's coming into the frame. Everybody.
Ka-ka-ka.
Please welcome David Goss.
What's up, everyone?
Of MLS Extra Time. David, what's up, man? Thanks so much for coming through.
Thanks for having me. I feel alive to be in the heart of Midtown. Like, I got off the train to come here, and I was like,
I thought
I'm in it.
I felt like you thought I invited you to a therapy session.
You walk in, it feels like a dentist's office. Okay. Yeah. And I just got healthcare. Congratulations to me. Or decent healthcare. So I'm starting to build up my I wouldn't have known that reference, the dentist reference, a few months ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So I feel really proud that I can even drop it.
Well, you know what? A lot of our English fans will know exactly what that experience is like.
Yes. 100%.
All of our listeners in Burnley are very jealous of you.
They're
right
very
now.
Jealous. Yeah. They are very jealous. Listen, you guys have great things. Otherwise.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to the cool again. Thank you so much, everybody. Here in the chat joining us. Some people in the chat are calling it extra time. All
What's
right?
up? Yay, I like that reference. I appreciate that. Hi, Michael, by the way. Michael Raymond, that's a lot of excitement for me.
Okay, yeah. No, a lot of people here are big fans of you.
I appreciate that.
Look, some people are calling you David Boss. Okay, so I just there's going to be a lot of weird jokes, and we have like a Cooligans like glossary that I think we should be giving our guests at this point. But that goes back to a thing that Alexis used to do, I guess, with his friends in school, where when if somebody did something poorly, like took a shot in basketball, they'll say like, oh, look, check out Blatrick Blueing or something like that. Okay. And so they started incorporating that into our chat. So they just add B's to things or whatever. So, okay, now I know.
Speaking of Cooligans references, so on the way here, I listened to the show from last week just to get myself hyped up.
Sure.
You made a low-key random story reference of collecting vials of drugs as a child, and it just got completely passed over. Like, do you have some stuff you want to talk about?
I'm just saying, look, the stuff that we reveal on this show is sometimes so ridiculous that me picking up and collecting little empty crack vials doesn't even scratch like the surface. Doesn't even
just tick. Blow right past.
Nobody's
there.
Like, well, okay, yeah, that's a common Brooklyn upbringing.
Okay.
So no, there's nothing to reveal.
No, I'm just saying it sounded like maybe someone you needed a shoulder.
No.
You might need someone to talk to, so I'm here for you.
No, I mean I've already paid for the years of therapy that I've needed. I'm not going to put that burden on you. You know what I'm saying?
As a New York Jew, I was born a therapist, so I'm always here for you. You
know, okay, if you need it. Good to know. Yeah. All right. I thought it was stand-up comedian, because most of my friends are Jewish stand-up comedian.
I think those, well, I guess they don't make more money. Yeah.
It's a little more disappointing to the family.
Probably,
then.
Yeah.
So shout out to David Goss. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
Yes, this is obviously a big week in Major League Soccer because I was watching Extra Time with Mike, just to, you know, just like you were doing your homework and your research and, you know, listening to my crack vial stories. I was doing some opposition research on you. There is something kind of, you know, I asked on Twitter, I asked the question, is MLS cool now?
Yeah.
Because there's something to how the, you know, we all know the product, mm-hmm. but there's something to how it was broadcast, how it was displayed this weekend, obviously on Apple TV, that made it feel like, all right, like now people are going to start hitting us up like, yo,
less embarrassing.
Yeah, how do I get in on this Major League Soccer thing?
Right. Yeah, I think it was a pretty big step compared to forever else. Like, yeah, it was less awkward to watch games where you're like, I was visiting my wife's family and, you know, they come in and it's not like, oh, what's this high school stream that you're watching right now? It looks like a professional sporting event, which is a pretty big step. And the thing about MLS and, you know, people always hit us up. How do I get so-and-so into MLS? What do I do? The games are cool, right? Going to the games are cool already. Like, I think we've reached that point in most markets, maybe not all the markets, and we can talk about those later. But in most markets, going to the games are cool. So it felt like, what Apple did, which was sort of just put a decent platform together to, like, allow that to shine, was really cool. I felt like most games came in with fan shots, TIFOs, Timber Joey doing his thing, like all the cool parts of the game. And then they laid out and let that sort of build. And it's like, it felt like this was the product that people would hit you up about.
Yeah, it felt like there was, and not to suggest that there wasn't any thought or care put to how the product was delivered, but it definitely felt just a little bit more, just that to like another level. Yeah. Just like we just want to make sure we're showing kind of, you know, because respect to the league, because one of the complaints a lot of people have about MLS is like, oh, it's 25, 6 years old. Nobody it has no history. And then it's like, but then when I meet like a Crew fan or Revs fan that was like been following the team since they were a little kid, I'm like, you can't. There are people who really, really treasure and value the league and its history. And that's what it felt like this weekend was. It's like just an acknowledgement of what it took just to get to this point.
Yeah, and I think one of the things, and everyone I think feels this way in a lot of different walks of MLS, of, you know, fans that put together the TIFOs, songs. I think a lot of people at clubs feel this way. The stadiums is, you've built a lot of it up and you just need it to be presented in the right way. Like, it's there. It wasn't that Apple had to recreate the league in the last 2 weeks. They just had to put a product that allowed it to be presented properly, and money helps that.
Yeah, money. Yeah. You know what?
Not a bad thing.
2.5 billion, I think, over 10 years. That'll get you out of bed.
That's the Meadowlark deal, right?
Exactly. Everybody knows what we're getting
paid.
That's
like DraftKings money.
Right? It's all public information. What the Cooligans get paid, it's all good. I love this. Justin Friedberg just said something about, if MLS is cool, then you can call me Miles Davis, which I love.
Nice.
There is something. Yeah. Look, it was great.
We were bored Martin. Alexis looks different today. That's a rough one, but not the worst one. It's not that far off.
You're either insulting or complimenting someone, and I can't tell who. a lot to go over. And obviously, this is going to be an MLS-heavy episode and very specific to some of the things that happened this weekend. And I think we should just start and get it out of the way, because Austin FC and St. Louis City, St. Louis had their first game. And I was happy to see, not only, look, I think a lot of people didn't expect St. Louis to win, but I, you know, have you ever met Lutz Pfennigstiel?
I have met him. Should I out myself right here? I have met him one time.
Yeah.
It was at All-Star last year in Minnesota.
Okay.
He was leaving for a flight. I was in the inverse, where I was coming home at the end of the night.
Right.
So if you think about when flights normally are, the hours were a little bit odd. It was at the end of All-Star.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think he enjoyed the conversation on any level.
Well, we interviewed, Alex and I interviewed Lutz Pfennigstiel, who is the sporting director for St. Louis City. And that's actually the second time we've met him, because we met him in Germany when we were on a Bundesliga trip, and he was the He was the sporting director for
Hoffenheim?
No, Düsseldorf.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Wow, you guys go way back.
Yeah.
There's a chance you guys are going to get signed to an MLS Next Pro project based off how he operates. He likes to go back in and figure his guys out.
So, but when we first met him, and I remember the Bundesliga people were like, this guy's an interesting guy. You got to meet him. He's a sporting director for Düsseldorf, but he also. He has like the record for.
He's played on the most continents.
Yes,
he's professionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you might know this better than me. Did he played for like an Antarctica team that they made up?
I don't know that.
Yeah. I saw that.
I
somewhere.
Wouldn't put it past him.
No,
though.
I think that part may have been a bit more gimmicky and less competitive.
But we interviewed him. You could go back and listen to our episode with him. He's just a truly fascinating guy, and like a. Not a weird person, but just someone who's just like, you could tell, so obsessed with football.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, the fact that we met him in Germany and now he's here is just like already ridiculous. Yeah. But that's kind of where I was like, man, this weird, strange man is going to bring some success to this expansion club. Yeah. And that's why I'm like not doubting St. Louis as much as I, you know, I know you guys, whenever you guys put out your predictions.
It's always rough.
It's always rough. And I'm sure some people in the chat.
One. Is anyone mad about anything?
Has anyone in the chat laminated their extra time predictions?
And it's funny because I've said this, I think, once or twice over the weeks, but I picked them last in the West because I didn't know what else to do. I didn't know where else to put them.
Yeah.
Like, so with MLS, if you have a way you play and you try hard every game, you're going to win. Like, there are other teams that don't do that.
Okay.
That is a bar that you can pass.
Do you want to name these teams?
I think it's the start of the episode, so we'll get into it as we get there. So, shout out to San Jose Earthquakes for sending me this, by the way. They did a really good job. Not one of those teams.
Okay, good, good.
Not right now. Not anymore, is the point. So, I think St. Louis won't be as bad as the last place team in the West because they have a way they play, and I think they're going to work hard as a team. The question, though, is how much higher can they get? And that I wasn't sure.
Right, right, right.
So that's where the lack of like confidence comes from in picking them. But not shocking to me that they could get a result like that. Or not they won't shock me if they finish 9th or 10th in the West. If they got higher than that, I'd be completely surprised.
Right, yeah. It definitely was, you know, just after a few minutes into the game, you're like, all right, they don't look out of place. No. I mean, most expansion teams they look like they're still like learning each other's names on the pitch, and it was the complete opposite. Yeah. And you know, seeing the Tim Parker score the first goal. Did you see the tweet, or I think it was an Instagram? He celebrated having
with
a kid
his baby.
with the baby celebration thing. And I think posted the text conversation, I think, with his wife. And he said, like, if I score, I'm going to do celebrating. Nice. And she was like, super.
I did it. That's amazing.
That was cool.
I did. So on MLS 360, it's Bradley Wright Phillips and Sasha Kleshin who both played with him.
Yeah.
And it was not clear that they knew he was having a kid.
Okay.
And like, they didn't say, but they kind of like, oh, look, the celebration. So yeah, it's one of those funny things because I think it was Steve Birnbaum who did it a few years ago.
Okay. Yeah.
Where they had not told people.
Right, so
it was not clear that his wife knew he was going to do it. Like, it was like, I'm having a kid, I'm going to yell it from the mountaintops, and then did it on his own. So it's an interesting move. I respect
it. Sure. When my wife and I did our baby announcement, that was my idea. I was like, I'll go score a goal in like my Sunday league and I'll do that and I'll get somebody to film it or whatever. And that was the plan for literally weeks. And I was like, it's going to happen. I could not score a goal for my life. Could not score a goal where I'm just like, you know what? We're going to have to just fake this whole thing. Okay. We're going to make a little production out of it.
Would it not be cheaper to try and pay an opponent to let you score one goal than to pay a bunch of actors to come and be
I have too many morals to do it.
Okay.
I'm not going to get caught up in some Juventus scandal.
No match fixing here.
Yeah. This isn't Barcelona. We don't pay the refs. 1.4.
Okay. But when your child gets older, I'm going to tell your child that your dad didn't have the commitment to pay for you. For you. You know, not.
I'm just impressed that you're gonna be in my child's life, David.
In a bunch of years. I actually thought I was Uncle David. I thought we had already established.
Thank you
that.
So much for making such a commitment to my family.
Yeah. Do you do godparents? Can I get in the running for that?
Yeah, that's I was just talking with my wife about that.
Yeah.
My wife is Jewish. She grew up Jewish. She doesn't really practice, but she's like, what?
Shout out to the non-practicing tribe.
But she said, she was like, do we have to like pick godparents?
Yeah, because we don't do that.
Yeah, you don't do that. So I'm just surprised that she's even asking me. Yeah. Like the you know, I grew up Catholic, but you know, I'm just.
It's a big thing for you.
It is, but I'm like a raging atheist now. Okay. I mean, like I learned my lesson. This is all I'm done with.
You're done. Okay. So this should go really well for you guys.
So I'll get godparents for the vibes, whatever. Yeah. Like it's a good deal, right?
Have you talked about Hebrew names? This is not a thing you're going to do, but I'm going to teach you about it.
Go for it.
So it's like old school naming style,
mm-hmm.
and you can hear some of it modern day in Arabic. Your son of is your last name.
Right.
So like your kid would be have a Hebrew name, and then they'd be Ben, which means son of you, and then V, which would be son of her.
Yeah.
So you get in there, so you could be...
Okay.
And your kid would probably be the first Ben Christian, I think.
That would be pretty dope. Yeah. You know, that's an interesting thing, because during the World Cup, when we were talking about Croatia, and a lot of the players, their names end in itch.
Okay.
And IC, almost all of them.
Yeah.
And... everybody's like, it's like always kind of a thing. Like, oh, itch, all their names on the itch.
Itch,
it's always a thing. And then I learned that they, in Croatian, it's the same thing.
No way. Itch means, I didn't know that.
It means like it's of.
Yeah.
So it's like the way in the Spanish names have Martinez.
Yeah.
A lot of names and then EZ. It's like S, of.
Of Martin.
Of whatever. Wow. So it's the same exact thing. It's just in a different language.
In their version.
And then when you think of like other names, that we're like, they're all our names are exactly like that.
So all the Scandinavians are daughters and sons, right? Magnusson.
Yes, yes.
And Hans' daughter, whatever. Yeah. So if you watch a lot of women's soccer, obviously Icelandic, Norwegian, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And so like I do college soccer. There's like a million Icelandic players who are all daughters. And there's like 18 daughters on the field.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know it until one person. I was like, you guys all have the same name. You know what I mean? You think you're so witty about it? You're like, why do you all have the same name? And they're like, well, it means daughter. And you're like, oh. Wow. I didn't know the Croatian one, though. That's a good one on the list. See, that's why soccer is the best.
Soccer is the greatest sport in the world.
We just learned so much.
Everybody in the chat is like, thank you. Everybody.
Oh, I was hoping they weren't. I went to go look to make sure they weren't saying, how did you not know that?
And look, and Justin Freeberg in the chat just said, David, why is the best bagel? And why is the correct answer an everything bagel?
Yeah, interesting.
This might be.
Is that your vote? Everything?
No.
That's my vote. That's your vote? Bagel guy.
Everything. Because now whole wheat's become a thing.
No. Plain everything, cream cheese.
Okay, so I'm a cream cheese and tomato guy. I'll throw that out there right now. I just think the tomato brings something to the table.
Sure. This is definitely this is an Alexis.
More an Alexis. Well, I'll put my take down and then he can respond in the future. And we'll have a long-running seventh month conversation.
I'm like, I love cinnamon raisin.
Oh, God.
Mess with cinnamon raisin.
No,
big
don't.
Fan. And also, sesame and poppy.
Okay.
Also, but,
well, this hurts because I'm a sesame guy.
Okay.
But you being cinnamon raisin and being sesame makes me worry about my take. I love a pumpernickel bagel as well.
Okay.
So if I can get some pumpernickel in there. I had to bring bagels to my in-laws in Maryland this weekend, and I go and order them. Her mom eats salt bagels, which I don't really...
No, I've heard of these.
Yeah, but like the bagel is in salt. You make a bagel in salt.
Right, right.
So you don't need
more.
The additional salt. And then the rest of them go everything, which I respect and I'm proud of them for.
Okay.
But my wife's a big whole wheat everything person, which has converted me. There's flavor in there. It adds. It doesn't take away.
Okay. All right.
So it's pretty good. But everything bagels. I like the everything. Like, I'll put that on every. Well, that was cliche. Yeah. I couldn't get out of that one. That train was coming at me faster than I could react. But yeah.
All right. Let's move on. I do want to. We were talking about we got into Lutz Fan and Steel, yeah, and the whole thing.
But St. Louis.
But St. Louis.
We have to talk about the play.
Right? We have to talk about the play. Okay. Kip Keller passes the ball back to former teammate.
R.I.P. Kip Keller. Because okay. It was a tough night.
It was a rough go. But yeah. Look, did you see Diego Fagundes and his? He put out a tweet
saying
in support.
We need to support. I've seen actually.
We all make mistakes.
Articles come out from Austin FC fans saying right. We have to support.
And look, I've been to Austin yet.
Yeah, it's great.
Game day experiences for. Yeah. I mean, I was at the first game and it was lit.
Show off.
I mean,
yeah. See, this is by the way why I wanted to come on the show, because you guys get free. You get so much more free stuff. You guys get invited to everything. I'm just like, I'll be there, and you're like, oh, you're also there. I'm like, this is my big invite. And you're like, this is one of the things the Cooligans are at. So maybe I'll be. Let's go to the St. Louis home.
Okay,
opener.
You know what? You're on the show. That's it. You
give me. Free stuff, please. Give me.
But, you know, and even in that game, there was no goal scored, and it was still, like, unbelievably intense, and they've only shown that and grown that throughout, since I was there. But there's a certain feeling, and this is what I thought St. Louis was going to go through, which was at least intimidation.
Mm-hmm.
And thought they would be a little bit nervous that day playing against that team with that fan base there. And... who was Cascante, right? Who got hurt?
Yeah.
Kip Keller comes in, and you know, I mean, I don't know if the moment was too big for him or whatever. I don't know if this is a guy on TikTok called Mr. Go 90. I don't know if you've ever seen this guy.
Yeah.
He like when anybody does a bad play, usually like in NFL, he'll do like a coaching session, like watching a coach watching the game tape, and he'll always say like, "Oh, moment was too big for him. Look, you can see him; he pissed down his leg." It's like a common thing, and that's the first thing I thought of.
Well, it got worse and worse and worse, because it went from he was marking Tim Parker
mm-hmm.
on the goal, then he passed back to Jared Stroud,
yeah,
and then Klaus. Was my guy. I love Klaus.
Who I just realized he's a German, Brazilian-German.
Yeah, I don't even think he speaks German.
Okay, okay.
Like he's...
He looks it.
100, and he sounds it too, right? Yeah. No, but there's that whole... Like, we can keep getting into our geopolitical or whatever. He lives in that region of Brazil where it's like all German.
Right,
so
right.
If you ever go to Brazil, all the beer comes from the same state in the south. Like near Porto Alegre, which is where all the Germans live.
Got it.
And there's parts of it where they speak German, like in areas of Brazil, which is like, come on, you live in Brazil. he's part of that. And then he went to Germany, but maybe he learned it there. I don't know. We had a conversation about it and I can't remember. Super nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
We interviewed him at Media Marketing and I chatted with him for a while and he was like super nice, really excited. He had moved a lot. If you look at he's one of those Wikipedias where it's like, you know, all the little arrows for loans out under
every
name. He had been on loan, like he had moved 8 different times in the last 3 years and he just was done with it. So he came here for this. And obviously Lutz had that background.
Yeah, dude.
He knew him. I think he brought him to Hoffenheim originally. So they've like, he's known about him for years. And it's a great goal. But where else is he going? Think about it. The play, like he goes down the right side of the box, isolated. Kip Keller overruns him
and he
cuts back and it's like the only place he can score is cutting back, and that was where it was like it went from bad to worse to even worse.
Yeah, I felt so bad for him.
And I felt for him. And the other issue is the other center back was playing in his first ever MLS game in Leo Väisänen next to him. They lost their starter last year because Gabrielsson wanted to go home and be near his family and whatever.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just him, I think. It was a bad situation to get stuck in. It probably helped St. Louis that he was on the, I don't know that St. Louis
they targeted a particular defender. There was this meme that I found on Reddit, which is great. And it's the Pam from The Office, and when she's looking at the two pictures, and the top one says, "Kip, the team needs you to find the differences between this picture and this picture." And one picture is of Jared Stroud wearing an Austin FC uniform, and the other is with a St. Louis uniform. And then obviously Pam is saying they're the same picture. And I want to talk about the play in particular because. Stroud obviously played for Austin FC last year. Didn't play that much, but clearly, also Kip Keller didn't play that much either.
No, he didn't.
I think it was a big moment, I think for both of them.
Yeah.
But you can see Stroud, and when you watch the replays over and over, He had his hands down. He does. We talk about this all the time. That it's a common. We say it's usually the Argentinians that do this. Is that when they don't receive a ball that they should receive, whatever, whether it's a tap in, whether it's just a great opportunity, they point at their feet in a very angry manner. And Stroud kind of did that. He was like, "Hey, I'm open." And Keller passed him the ball in the 18-yard box, and which was effectively just like a tap-in, and it was just an absurd moment. And I think it's embarrassing for Kip Keller. It felt almost a little even embarrassing for Stroud as well.
So that's what I was going to ask. Where do you fall on the was Jared Stroud like? Are you mad at Jared Stroud?
I'm not mad at him, but in extra time, you guys brought up I haven't had this conversation with anyone, but you guys brought up like that maybe this is like against the rules.
So don't say you guys. I don't want to all get looped in. Doyle very specifically wanted to bring up that there was a rule against this, which feels like a narc move.
We all say Doyle's a cop.
Exactly. So they specifically wanted to bring up that rule. I think what Jared Stroud did was wrong. And I don't think that a ref should be involved in fixing it. I think the laws of the land and ecosystem should solve it.
Next game,
what I'm saying? Yeah, okay. I was shocked he got through that game. Quite honestly.
Yeah.
And like not trying to encourage people to hurt people or whatever, I know me.
Some Austin FC fans, they were throwing stuff when he got off the pitch,
and they were booing him.
They were booing him a lot.
He did the full lap because he went off the other side.
Right. Right.
And again, this is a guy who used to play for them, was on their inaugural team, was in the expansion draft. Like, he technically goes back as far as any Austin FC player can. It's only a year,
Austin
2 years.
Austin FC legend, Jared Stroud. We all know that.
The tradition and culture and history you're talking about. And they were, they were furious at him. And I would be, too. And if I was on St. Louis, or sorry, on Austin, I would have said something, and I probably would have done something.
Yeah.
I don't think the ref should make a call because of it, but it is clear that he tried to take advantage. There's like some defense, which is he's actually in a line with Stuver. Mm-hmm. So if Keller was playing back to Stuver and just didn't notice him, he would have been in the same spot. So there's a world in which you could argue he wasn't actually playing to Stroud. I don't think that's real.
No. But he clearly, Keller is, it's just one of those things where you're just not fully, fully focused.
Yeah.
And paying attention to what you hear and you're like, oh, my teammate's there.
Also, you don't think
the
guy on the other team who you played with for 2 years is going to do that. And I have never asked this before, so now I'm going to start asking players. But like, I'm curious if at a pro level, if other people have ever experienced that, because I have never really been in a game where that's happened at like that level. And I would be shocked if, I don't know, you think Henry went to Barcelona and then played Arsenal and was calling for the ball.
Right.
Like, it feels like a weird thing to do.
I got yellow carded in a game once for yelling when somebody was going to take a shot.
Yeah, and that one I've seen.
So that's a rule. This one doesn't, it's hard to.
It's the same concept. I think the rule is the same rule. Like, one of the ones I said that I've seen is when like a ball goes back and you're charging the goalkeeper, people will scream and go like, ah,
right.
That's also a foul or a card or whatever. I think they all come out of the same, like, but now you're getting into like British nobility, right? Because that's probably where those rules come from.
Right.
Netflix show where everyone was a coal miner playing soccer.
It's an interesting conversation. I mean, in a weird way, it almost feels like most American soccer fans may not be even. I didn't know about the rule, but like you couldn't yell. It took me doing that to. I'm like, let me look up rule 44 point whatever. I'm like, yo, he's right. I wasn't supposed
the
to.
The ref takes out the puck. He's like folding through.
So it's an interesting like nuanced conversation, but I feel bad for Kip Keller because it's just gonna be like, what the hell is this guy doing? Yeah. I'm sure it was in a not top 10 or something like that.
Well, and so what's funny as well is I've known Jared for a while because he played for Red Bull Sioux, which is my favorite team in the world. Red Bulls. Not a Red Bulls fan. Only Red Bulls Sioux. I don't go past. Well, now they're in MLS Next Pro, so we'll see. And he's a good guy.
Yeah,
and
like
I've seen him grind through his career. He works hard.
Call him right now. Positions. Ask him why.
I don't know what happened. And the funny part connected to it is his brother, who just signed with Red Bulls as a homegrown and actually played this weekend out of Duke. I've covered him in youth settings where he's been a bit of like, what's my cursing level on that?
You can curse that.
He's been a bit of a shit starter.
Yeah.
He's and like some wild situation. And anytime I tell Jared about it, he goes, that sounds like Peter. So he like has thrown it on him. Like I wouldn't, you know, that's him. That's his side of the family. Now he caught himself in this, which I thought was a little bit odd.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm sure St. Louis fans are happy Jared Stroud's on there too. They're like, whatever. Yeah. Like, I mean, you saw even the away fans there were like, they were stoked. It was great. But look, nonetheless, an entertaining game. I think one of the more entertaining games out of the weekend.
Five goals
doesn't hurt. There were also 5 goals in the Union game against Columbus Crew.
Wait, can I just say real quick before we get there? Mike Thomas said Austin knocked him out of his survivor pool. My friends are doing one as well, but you get to pick 3 teams, and almost everyone picked Austin as one of theirs and lost.
What's the how does a survivor pool work? I don't know the rules.
It's like it's an NFL thing normally, which is you pick a team every week. You can't pick the team again once you've picked them.
Got it.
So if your team wins, you move to the next round, but you can't pick the Steelers again the rest of the year.
Gotcha.
So you have to figure out like how to save teams. My friend is doing one. He made up for people, for friends, where you pick 3 every week. One has to go through, and then like at the end, you'll also have a total comp winner. So Austin at home against St. Louis was like a safe bet for a lot of people. And you can pick teams more than once because MLS has too many weeks too many teams. There's too much going on. But yeah, and so everyone picked Austin and also lost. So I feel for you, Mike.
Okay. So the Union, real quick, I mean, they looked great. I mean, a lot of people are saying that they're probably the favorites to go back to the MLS Cup final. You were at the MLS Cup final, and I haven't gotten to speak to you about this. Just real quick, before we talk about this season, what was that game like? Because Alexis and I were going to go, and we were at the Eastern Conference final.
We hung out there.
Yeah. And we were like, should we go? I'm like, it was one of those, like, we've been traveling so much.
Yeah.
I think we had
NYC had won, you would have gone.
We would have gone. But it was like, maybe it'd be nice to take a break. You know, we had just got back from Germany. And then
life is so hard to be the Cooligans. Again, I'm on the show now. Invite me to stuff. So I've never been to Germany. I like schnitzel. I like sauerkraut. Invite me.
Okay, that's it. We got to get you on the agenda. But that game, what was it? I mean, it was unbelievable. But what was the experience like for you?
Oof, it was wild. And I would say, obviously the goal, the end.
Yeah.
But the beginning. The 32-52 full smoke at a level I've never seen them at. And it was, I don't know who I was standing with, where I looked at it and was like, it feels like I'm in Argentina.
Right.
Like it felt past MLS at that point. And you talked about MLS being cool. Like LAFC is one of those teams you're around where you're like, oh yeah, MLS is cool. Like people want to be here.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. Right. And so when you're in that building, it feels that way. When people are wearing their colors and in the city, the whole week, it felt like a big deal that it was happening. People cared about it. People were psyched. So that was like the start. And then just to hang out and watch the game. And, you know, we did a post game show and I was standing like with Doyle and Wiebe and Charlie Davies, and we're going to have to analyze the game after. And you're trying to like talk about stuff. And it wasn't that. It was just like individual moments and greatness. And there wasn't like weak links or failures or ideas. It was literally just players showing up to be like at their best in the biggest moments. And so it was pretty amazing. And then I was down in that corner
which I see the photos and the videos and your guys' reaction when they ran to your corner.
And so we also had, I think Jack Elliott scored the third goal to go up on the other side, but the Philly fans, the away fans at the Bank of California Stadium, they put them in the upper deck all the way on the end, which is on the same side that Bale scored on. Like it's on. So Elliott did the full field run and they all celebrated there. So that was the side we were on as well.
Yeah.
And I think the Philly bench was in front of us. Jim Curtin's like 40 yards on the field. He's celebrating. So it was like we experienced that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the equalizing goal and you have the Bale goal. You just had like everything go on. And the place just erupted and was wild. So it was pretty epic. And it was hard to digest after. Like, we did a post-game show. We got back to the hotel, and everyone was like, oh, yeah. Like, you know, literally. It's like you just got hit in the face with all of it. And it was wild, yeah.
Yeah, but it was truly one of the, I mean, it was definitely one of the greatest MLS games I've ever seen. And people were arguing for months about, is it the best game ever? But it was one of the... I mean, the regret of like not coming to that was brutal, but it was still, it did feel like a you know, one of the things I because I've been to the last few MLS Cups, there was something about watching it on TV and then experiencing it online with everyone else. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I appreciated was like, you don't, outside of like the Super Bowl and some, I don't know, Monday Night Football or something like that, you don't get the like, everyone is in America is doing the same thing right now.
The collective feeling, yeah, yeah.
I mean, and not to say that that's what was happening
in
with
Canada.
MLS.
Shout out Canada.
But the MLS Cup final and then the first weekend on Apple TV,
yeah,
that it felt like, whoa, everybody I know is kind of doing the same,
for sure,
same thing. So that did feel pretty cool. The Philadelphia Union dominated Columbus Crew. Then the goal from or the pass from Joaquin Torres to Carranza was it did feel, I mean, look, it feels like Philadelphia Union are the, you know, coming in with the most frustration and anger into this season, and they're not gonna, you know, take it easy or lightly on some of these teams.
And some years we come in, I think NYCFC has been in this convo right in the past where it's like, well, NYC, Atlanta, like there's a bunch of teams at the top together. It feels like Philly and then a gap and then everyone else, right, because even LAFC lost so many pieces. Chicho Arango's gone. We still don't know. Like, they're going to fill in their roster. And I picked LAFC to win the West because I learned last year I didn't actually pick them to make the playoffs last year, which was a mistake. That John Thorington's really good at putting rosters together, and Steve Trunzel will react to it. So, like, I don't think there's any doubt that LAFC will build up their roster. But where we sit right now, no one's close to Philly. And it's tough because how do you maintain the edge if, one, it gets easy, or two, it's just been a lot of years for Philly. Like, from this goes back to 2020 now, of supporter shield, getting further in the playoffs than ever before, then getting to an Eastern Conference Finals, then getting to an MLS Cup. So you worry that at some point, will they lose their edge? So to smack Columbus after going down 1-0 in the first game, I think it was a pretty good sign that they won't.
I love this from Mike Thomas, who's a Union supporter. He says, I'm spiraling recap.
I felt that as we were doing it, and you brought it up, and I was like, this was a combo about how Philly's good, but let's go back into...
You know what? It just shows the growth, okay?
When I talked to Andre Blake before the season, he like didn't shy away from talking about it, but you could tell that he was still sitting on it. Like, it was first in his memory. That's tough.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Do you follow Andre Blake on TikTok?
I do not.
He has a TikTok. He dances with his family and everything.
Andre Blake's a good guy.
He's a great guy.
He's a good dude.
I'm just saying, he's just on a new arc. He's not trying to care what people. He's a family man.
It's going to be the when they win MLS Cup, it's going to be a video that starts with the, like, I fought through adversity. I came through everything. Dark shadows.
Bro, a nice, you know, fan cam. Yeah, a nice, real hard edit. But they look great. And you talk about teams that have a lot of turnover, and Philadelphia Union is not one of those. No. Everybody's back. Everybody's furious.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're going to be, I would have to say favorites in the Eastern Conference.
I think favorites across the league, and it would be cool if they could win CCL. I think that'd be special.
Okay.
And we kind of moved past that, I think, with Seattle winning it. We're not all like, I don't think other fans are going to root for Philly to win CCL.
Sure.
But I think it'd be cool with a non-DP heavy squad, right? Like what Seattle did, great build, top to bottom, good roster. But Rui Diaz, Nico Lodero, like those are the guys who carry that.
Right, right.
With Philly, it's not that. And so it would be cool to see them do it, you know, in a way that's different. And I think it would elevate MLS even more in the region.
It would have elevated MLS if Sounders could have done something at the Club World Cup. That would have been nice too. Even, I mean, just Sounders against Real Madrid would have been
so cool.
I mean, even if they got
Sounders beating Al Ahly would have been cool, because I would have gone to all my Egyptian spots and been like, what's good now? What's up, Top Cafe? What do you want? But that didn't happen.
Okay. I have to do this, and I should have told you beforehand, but we're contractually obligated to mention that everybody here needs to chill with a Cold Coors Light.
Yeah.
David got
100%.
So that's how we, that's how me and
the
David,
blue, that's why we're wearing blue for the Blue Mountains.
Exactly. And the, you know what happens is that when a Coors Light is cold enough, what happens? You see
the mountains,
the mountains show up right on the beer. So it's a good move. It's a good sign. Yeah. So some people who may not know if it is cold enough. Okay. So look, the mountains on the bottle can even turn blue. When your beer is cold enough, that way you always know when it's time to chill. When it's time to relax, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Mark your calendar for some quality time with Coors Light, the beer made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans.
Is someone about to?
I wish we could have coordinated that. Just a nice.
Because someone's out there, and I thought it was Drizzly with Coors Light. That would be amazing. I would be blown away if that was how you guys did things.
Oh my god! Okay, look, Douglas in the chat said Christian has to make our Meadowlark and Coors Light overlords happy. Get that money. That's it.
Shout out to Douglas, by the way, legend.
Absolute legend.
But also pulls me into things I don't care about, like college football and F1 all the time on social media. I'm like, oh, what's this whole thread? And I'm like, oh, I don't care about this.
You know what? You know, you get to, like, I mean, F1, I'm like, because everyone else is so curious.
Are you in?
I'm not in, yeah. But I'm like, I watched a couple of the episodes on the Netflix thing. I'm like, all right, I see it.
So, do you respect the, and you guys are probably already talking about this. So, one of the things with the F1 is the new season's out.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, it's bad because the F1 season was bad. So with Wrexham, like the FA Cup game happened, and there was a lot of people who were like, I don't want to ruin the show, so I don't want to watch the game.
I heard that. No, I'm not one of those people, okay. But I legitimately heard a lot of my friends being like, yeah, don't tell me what happened in the game. I'm going to wait until Wrexham.
That's absurd.
It's like you go to see the Titanic. Everyone knows the boat sinks. You still watch the movie if you're going to watch that movie, right?
That's hilarious. Yeah. That's a no, I did not know people do that. But I mean, credit to I guess credit their commitment to like. Don't spoil it for me. Don't spoil real life for me because I can't handle it.
Which, spoilers, it's not as good as the show because the show is produced.
Exactly.
If you edit out all the boring stuff, it's really fun.
I did love the debate of like, why is Wrexham getting so much attention from ESPN and didn't do the same for MLS and blah, blah, blah. But look, it shows that people care enough to have a really annoying arguments about
true. People are passionate. You're right.
That's a good sign.
I'm really glad that's what you tapped into there. Not the angst, not the anger.
Nah, dude. That's it. It's just like engagement.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, 100%.
We'll take it. You know, like the strategy now and a lot of on social media, I don't know if you've heard this, but this is like a real tactic that people have used to gain popularity where they make content deliberately like wrong, like they may say a word wrong.
Oh, interesting.
They say something incorrectly.
So a lot of comments.
So the comments are like, that's not how you, well, actually, that's not how it's said. And then the algorithm is like, oh, wow, this person's getting a lot of game. Let's push this out to more people so that they can also correct them. And that's and people get millions of followers doing stuff
All
like that.
All publicity is good publicity.
Exactly.
Clearly. That's what we're doing on the show. Every time we've been wrong so far, we've been doing that tactic.
I was going to say Blangola comes to
Blangola, it's a whole other thing. Alexis, a couple weeks ago, asked me a question. What country would I want to be the president of? Just literally out of nowhere. And I said, Angola. And then we went to a whole tirade about...
I don't think that would be an easy one. I don't think being the president of Angola would be easy. I'm not saying it's the wrong answer.
I'm here for...
I think you'd have a lot of work to do.
I'm here for a project, okay? I'm like Marcelo Bielsa,
got
bro.
It. Yeah, you want to start at the bottom and then build, yeah. Bielsa normally quits after 6 weeks. So
okay, so...
I wouldn't... If for all of our Angola listeners, I wouldn't get too attached to Christian over here.
So then he started saying that he would be the president of Blangola because of the whole thing, and you know how it is. All right.
Alexis is funny even when he's not here.
Look at that.
Nailed it.
I hate to have to explain Alexis's jokes even when he's not here. Okay. But I want to talk about,
we're going to talk about MLS now.
So we were talking about Wrexham, the stuff, and people are having the debate about ESPN and blah, blah, blah. But then this photo came up about the first game, Nashville played against NYCFC. And for our audio listeners, I'm showing a picture from a World Soccer Talk, and the top of the image is showing the Apple broadcast, which is obviously in 106
Beamed
in Park.
Down from a spaceship.
I mean, in a gorgeous studio in you know, in Harlem. And then the homies, John Strong and Stu Holden, just sitting in what is looks like a janitor closet with the DoorDash.
DoorDash was holding them hostage while they were
shout out DoorDash. But they get delivered food wherever, exactly. Wherever they want.
They could have delivered the Coors Light. We should have worked with them. But look, and it's not, look, this is obviously the comparison of what the broadcast was on Fox and what it was on Apple TV. And I mean, Apple TV looked incredible. The picture quality was incredible. And then also, the picture quality on Fox was way, way beneath what it was on Apple TV. But it's what we've grown up with and what we're sort of used to. But so I don't point this just to like sort of make fun of anybody in particular, but it says something to, again, just the this kind of stuff matters. The optics of it matter a little bit. And it's not to say that Fox never tried or anything, because it clearly isn't the case. But they're not going to go all in for every single game. But this part of me feels like intentional. You know what
you
I mean?
You think that they were like, oh, you guys are going to put a lot into this? We're going to do nothing. You don't think we could do worse? We could do worse.
Because in comparison, it looks so stark. I mean, it's not that...
And this game was on Fox, right? It wasn't even FS1. I think it was on
so.
Fox.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the games that they have packaged for are on Big Fox. So they're like, everyone gets them.
Yeah. I mean, they normally do that in studio at the desk, and it's like, it looks like a newsroom sort of. It's not the fanciest
like
thing.
Like Ira Duffel, Landeros, Alexi Lalas talking about stuff.
It's been good. Yeah. But for this particular game and this particular decision to make it look this particular way is like, bro, they could have done just a tad more.
Or they couldn't have. Mike Thomas is the spoiler about this whole thing.
Yeah, it's like, out of is it spite? I don't know what it is. But
listen, you're ex and you're still going to be friends, but it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that a little bit. Also, it's amazing because they're physically in person together, which means one of them traveled to be in without that space. It's not like, oh, well, this is the best I could do at home. Like, I'll tape something up. Someone got on a plane to get to that 100%. Place, whether it was Stu or John.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was John, because John, I think, lives in Portland I believe, and their studios, I believe.
Stu lives next to John Legend, so we assume he lives in
LA. That's right.
They're best friends.
They are good friends. Yeah. It's a thing I rarely bring up anytime I see him, but
Weird. You
should bring it up.
You should bring up to other people that you know Stu Holden, who knows John Legend. That's probably the move you need to make.
Yeah. Some of the people in American soccer are like, well, more well-connected than we know, we realize or whatever. Like,
well, there's like the, when I was in college, I broadcast my college teams,
mm-hmm.
and they would call non-athletes muggles.
Okay.
So all the athletes, high-level athletes, were like the wizards of the world. And I think pro soccer players enter into that space where they're like, oh, we're like sort of celebrities. And when we meet someone, we do like a head nod.
Sure.
We have the secret code, handshake, whatever. But they're like, not all of them are that famous on their own, but they're allowed to be in that.
Totally. You
know, they get accepted to Hogwarts. They're just Hufflepuff.
Okay. There's something about, even when we interview a lot of some of the soccer players, and we'll say like, I usually ask them, like, have you ever met a comedian before? Because sometimes they'll be on the show and they have no idea what to expect. Sometimes they think, like, am I supposed to be funny too? And all that. I'm like, we're not putting that responsibility on you.
We're professionals. You guys don't have to be at our level.
But most of the time, almost anybody asks, whether it's a NWSL player, MLS player, they're like, no, I've literally never met a comedian, which is, it's one of those things where like you would hope that the soccer world and entertainment world were overlapping a little bit more.
So one of the things with that is cities. Right. Comedians all pool in L.A. and New York.
Totally.
And so a lot of the players are big deals in, I'm sure there's SKC guys who are friends with, Pat Mahomes or whatever. Right.
Right.
Or current players, but not, it's not going to happen with comedians. Also, that might unfortunately be a knock on some comedians who they do know. But they don't know that they're comedians, or they don't consider themselves, right? Like, Julian Gressel may have been friends with people who are comedians, and they don't know. So that might be okay. Harsh.
Yeah, well, because like SKC especially has like Paul Rudd, right? Paul Rudd is a big Sporting Kansas City fan.
He's a big KC, like everything.
Right. So yeah, I've seen him at games.
They have some celebrities, I think. It's hard for me to like, as a New Yorker, you watch the Knicks game and it's like, oh, there's a bunch of celebrities here. Then you go to like a Cavs game and they're like, look who's here, like the one person. They make a big deal about it. And it's normally an athlete from one of the other sports in the city. Sure. So I think the celebrities. Yeah, yeah.
In Cleveland, it's like the front row is just like, you know, the head of the, you know, Brooks Construction Company.
Allstate's most closest. Yeah.
Employee of the month or something.
Let's keep a cardboard cutout of LeBron courtside.
Probably. Also, no disrespect to people who live in cities that aren't New York.
Complete disrespect.
But some disrespect.
I mean, well, doing comedy in them.
Especially LA.
Doing comedy in them can be a little challenging sometimes. So that's all I'll say.
What's your low-key city that's like not a big city that has been good for you for comedy?
Oh, man. What's a good city that I really, really enjoyed? Atlanta. I mean, it's not, I guess it's not small. It's a big city.
Yeah. But like people laugh. Is that what you mean by good city?
They laugh and they're also like, on board. Yeah. Like I've done shows in like Maryland or like Virginia.
Where they're like.
And it's like, all right. It's like, well, where the local comic that's like, man, you know, buried on the street and the people are literally losing their minds. And then you talk about to them about anything else and they're like, no, I don't get it. What's this yank talking about?
Do a joke about the bar on Main Street. Otherwise, we don't want it. Yeah.
So those are not fun.
You got to have willing laughers. You have to have willing participants.
Totally. So, and there are certain cities that like, or communities that like foster good, like just comedy, like who sort of just get comedy. Like Vermont has a really great comedy club, and it's just a community of people that just love comedy and stuff like that. There's certain spots. So yeah,
and I assume all of the comedy in Vermont is organic.
Okay, it's sticky because it's maple syrup coming out.
Shout out Vermont Green, by the way. I was gonna wear my Vermont Green jersey. My friends are on that team. I'm stoked. Year two is coming.
The kids look great. I do want to talk about since we're talking about New York, let's talk about NYCFC. They did play against Nashville at Geodis Park and got blanked 2-0. I assume you watched this game.
I did watch
this
game.
Was the first one. And what were your first thoughts? I mean, as an NYCFC fan, watching my first thought was like, I miss everybody who left, obviously. And Maxi Morales, obviously, not having Maxi Morales, not having Alexander Collins, was already like my main concern.
Yeah.
But then I think once I saw the lineup and I'll be honest. I think they had Mateus Pellegrini as the 10. Yeah. And I don't see him as the 10.
I don't think he does either. So, he did not look happy.
Yeah, it's I think he had a couple decent chances, but just like again the link up of like that person in the midfield to replace Max Morales, that doesn't seem like the guy.
It does not at all, and he was only one of multiple players, I think, who looked like they were playing in the wrong position.
Okay.
Which is not a positive. Right. And it's not a positive for the guys who are returning, like Talis Magno and Andrade, where it's like they're out of position. I talked about this on ETR yesterday with Tavon Gray, where like I saw Tavon Gray as a young player as a center back. Okay. So I get like he filled in at right back because he's good and there was a spot of need. But you come through an off season, why is he your starting right back still? Like either put him in a position to succeed or your team. And I think you see there's probably too many players out of position where the other ones can't carry them. Like this is what I always talk about in MLS is NYCFC has been able to bring in a lot of young players and have them produce because the baseline is Maxi Morales, Alex Collins, Sean Johnson. Like it's easier for them in MLS than it is for players that were coming into Cincinnati because the guys next to them knew what was up and they were good.
Right.
That baseline doesn't exist anymore. So now the question is like, if you bring in new guys now, how much harder is it for them because they don't have the Maxi Morales of the world to lean on? My question for you as an NYCFC fan.
Go for it.
As someone who supports the club, you have an offseason where your players go to other CFG clubs.
Right.
Like, what is the feeling as a fan watching your team take your players to their other teams? Like, right. How do you process
they, like,
that?
Move to a different department in the company. Right. The feeling is not a... I think a lot of people... kind of I expected this or sort of saw this coming. So it's not a and I think maybe because I have met these players personally and genuinely happy for their like personal success that I don't take it personally that they want to move on to like a better or bigger opportunity or anything like that. So say like when Tati left, I kind of understood it.
Right.
He was just playing too well to even stay.
Like, right.
And even after NYCFC won MLS Cup and I was at City Hall and he was giving his speech, thanking the fans. It was beautiful to play for this team.
It's a goodbye. I'm like,
And then come preseason, he's like, oh, I'm still here.
Yeah, yeah. I'm committed to the cause.
So you can tell there's it's business or whatever. I think a lot of players understand that as well. I mean, and I think fans do. Maybe NYCFC fans understand it, even are forced to understand it to a higher degree. But the frustration isn't in that the players, we know that they're going to go. Mm-hmm. It's that they're not
being replaced.
It's not even that they're not being replaced, because that isn't exactly the case. I think they're giving the younger players an opportunity to fill those roles. But this was a weird season where so many big players left. And I think the decisions that were made might have been made with the thought that some of the players were not leaving. Mm. So Sean Johnson. I think Maxi was probably a bit of a surprise because I know he said that essentially he was leaving because it's probably his last year.
Right. It's time to go home.
And he wanted his kids to see him play for his childhood club.
I love that.
So, again, totally respect it.
Yeah.
And so I think for the NYCFC front office, there were some surprises. And I think they probably thought they were going to keep Sean Johnson,
right.
And I think they probably thought they were going to keep Alexander Collins. And then it just got to the point where it was too late in the window to really bring in probably the people you really wanted to bring in.
The Collins one is fascinating because he, again, right, as a free agent, he clearly couldn't come to terms with NYCFC.
Right.
But not in something about the negotiation was clearly above board enough that he wasn't upset with CFG.
Of course.
Because then he goes to another team. And that's the part where it's like, I think, weird to handle, which is you would think if he felt that strongly about the organization that he could stay at NYCFC, right? He clearly likes David Lee or parts of CFG, whatever parts he interacted with, he likes enough to stay, just not, I guess, for the money in MLS, which is part of the MLS rules. That's a pain as well, is you can't give guys raises at the same level that you could sign him.
Robin Taghini in the chat, who you know, obviously, the Taghini family.
Yeah.
She says it's part of the design. And then Gavincho in the chat said, Tati made a mistake. I think other than money, it was just an move. Actually, I mean, I've actually been watching a couple of Hirona matches.
Yeah.
And he's fitting in to that team. And he's scoring a couple goals. He might have like 4 or 5 goals already this season. He's taking penalties. He's already kind of stepping in and being a little bit of a leader for that team. I think he's going to keep them up, which I think is probably the main thing. But I've already heard rumors of like, you know, Tottenham interested Premier League clubs interested.
Well,
in him.
I disagree with Kivincho there because he clearly had maxed out in MLS.
Right.
So, like, with him, there was no other path forward. And it wasn't the move up that he wanted it to be. It was slightly lateral, a little bit raised. Uh-huh. But he had no other choice. Because if you win a Golden Boot and an MLS Cup, and everyone's like, yeah, we haven't seen enough, you can't just keep doing that because no one's going to change their answer.
Exactly. And also, you're not going to be, like, rewarded financially for that success either. So that's the part. The ceiling is, at least financially, is very low in MLS. Yeah. Unless you're Insigne, right?
Yeah. And then you can get hurt and you make $9.5 million, which is great for him. I will say this, Eber looks pretty good for Seattle. So that's
that was the one, especially after watching. Look, they put Talis Magno to play striker, which we all, I think,
Robin,
we've
met. Robin says we've never met. We met in Atlanta.
Oh, there
I'm offended. I'm offended. But continue.
But so, you know, he clearly does not look, not that he doesn't look comfortable, but he's just like the type of player that he is like he needs to be on the left side, and he's such a unbelievable. He's a very deceptive dribbler. Have you noticed, like, where you can't really tell where he's going? He's not the fastest guy in the world, but he's just like, he can start and stop almost better than any defender in the league. And you really can't get the ball away from him. But in wide spaces, that's ideal. But when you ask him to, like, do some hold-up play and stuff like that, that's just not his game. And then when they did the switch and put Thiago at the nine and had him out wide, I think they looked a lot better. NYCFC looked a lot better in that second half. But
although he kept looking hurt every time he took a shot.
Yeah, I didn't get that either.
And Mo was right. He kept bringing it up. And I think Mo was, like, waiting for the trainer to come on to look at it, and he just kept playing with this thing.
Which I think is, like, I'm trying to think of who would they have even replaced him with.
That's part of the problem.
And
So what they would have done, Seagal, whatever we're going to call him, he's a center forward.
Right. He's from, I think, NYCFC 2.
Where did he come from? No, he was in Germany. He's American, but he was in a German academy at some Bundesliga club. He never made a first team debut. But their big thing with them is you're going to play Thiago, Gabi Pereira. Pellegrini's also a forward. That's who he is. So it would have just been probably like bring in Andres Jason or one of them and slide someone else into the middle or out left, whatever you're going to do with the team.
I mean, they didn't, especially in that second half. I thought NYCFC would tie the game. Yeah, and then Hani Mukhtar comes in. And it was a little bit like on the broadcast, I think Mo was mentioning it as well. Like, oh, when you get to bring this guy off the bench, you know, it's a big advantage. And then I'm like, whatever, but NYCFC, they're playing great this second half. Hani's not going to do anything. He's coming off of an injury. He's recovering. He's not going to really give it his all. And all he did, he gave it his all.
Yeah,
and he laid off a great pass to
what are we going to call Jacob Schaffelberg? He's got a mullet. He's Canadian. He's from Nova Scotia. Nova Scotia, I think it is. Yeah, he's like the only pro player ever to come out of whatever province. I think it's Nova Scotia. That one's on the east.
He looks like a
hockey player.
He does look like a hockey player, which is not far off. There's probably a lot of hockey players that are coming from there. There's a lot of potential nicknames out there for him. I would like to hear more of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shout out Nashville as well for the celebration on their first goal with the Johnny Cash and the Ring of Fire. That was pretty cool.
Yeah,
which was great because I had just gotten ragged. Doyle, I wore the Nashville kit last week.
Mm-hmm.
Doyle said, what's your favorite Johnny Cash song? I said the Ring of Fire mainly because I didn't know he was going to ask me that question. I couldn't think of anything.
What was the song you said? Oh,
Ring of Fire.
Okay. Ring of Fire, yeah.
Then I got trashed on Twitter from Nashville fans being like, oh, I bet, dude. Couldn't pick a better song. And then Walker Zimmerman did the celebration. And I just added Walker on all the responses. And I was like, just tell Walker that thing.
Nice.
Don't tell me. Tell your boy Walker Zimmerman.
I'm a Folsom Prison.
Okay.
That's probably my favorite Johnny Cash song.
There's like a, I just found out there's a portrait of him or a mural of him in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
So there's love for Johnny everywhere.
Okay. Yeah. Absolute legend. Okay. I just saw the Elvis movie also, by
how
the way.
How was it?
It was actually really good.
Oh, was it?
I did not. I think it's because it's a Baz Luhrmann film. It's just like he can make anything entertaining. I mean, Baz Luhrmann films are like a one long TikTok or whatever. Like, there's just the editing is crazy.
Yeah,
and it's a lot of colors.
I will say, if you're ever in Nashville, go to Graceland because I didn't think I'd want to, and someone made me go, and it was really fun.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
So now we got it all.
We'll do.
We got all the Elvis stuff.
I did love the picture that they took for the celebration. It was iconic. But it was one of those, why was it against my team?
Yeah. You know? You guys are in that bad category right now where I've done a bunch of content this week where people are like, who's the best team? Who looked the best? And it's like Nashville, but because maybe NYCFC are bad.
Yeah.
Where it's like you have that dichotomy, right? DC looked good. But we think it might be because TFC sucks. So, like, NYCFC, unfortunately, are in that little category.
Well, I think
right now.
Santiago Rodriguez is coming back, and hopefully that's soon. And I believe he will be the 10. And so I think the team will. You know.
And James Sands. Let's get that going again.
Right. I've heard that, too. So that'd be pretty dope. Okay. All right. A couple other. Oh, I do want to talk about Toronto and DC.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I could get this photo on screen. Did you see the photo of
Teddy, my guy Teddy?
No. That photo is great too. But before we get to that photo, the photo of Young Gotti, Yo Gotti, with because
he's an owner. I think
he's one of the owners. But he took a photo with why am I forgetting his name from Clips? Here we go. Pusha T.
Oh wow. This just is, hanging out at the game.
This is fun.
Yeah,
I saw this.
MLS is cool,
bro. This is just again another example of why MLS is the coolest league in the world. All right. But yeah, this was so
they left this game being like, this DC United team's good.
I was just happy. Look, after Coup de Pietro scored that goal, I was just happy. I love the video of this the coaches, mm-hmm. DC United coach. We haven't seen Wayne Rooney that happy.
We haven't.
Even when he passed that 80-yard ball or whatever.
To Lucho.
To Lucho.
He walked back.
He was just so
tough. He also had run the full field to get the ball. So Rooney was done at that point.
But you would think that would be just a great moment to celebrate. But seeing Wayne Rooney celebrate as a manager, it's like a different, I appreciate it in a different way. And given that DC had such a bad year last year, it was good to see, but what you were just mentioning. Is DC United good or TFC just
very
bad?
I think TFC's bad. Okay. I think DC's better than they were. So I don't know that DC would have won that game last year.
Right.
But I also think TFC might be bad. Now, I don't think TFC's permanently bad. Like, I think Bernadeschi's so good. I think Osorio's good enough. I think there's pieces in there that's good enough that they will win games. They're not going to be like the wooden spoon.
Right.
But this weekend was not a good weekend because you got a lot of pieces new that didn't look cohesive, and then Insigne gets hurt. Right. And like that seemed to just take everything out of them. They fought back. They went up 2-1,
mm-hmm.
but not really in a way that felt real, right? Like it felt like 2-2 was coming. I think 3-2 was a bit of a surprise. But when you watch the game, like DC was banging on the door. The second goal felt like it was coming. Benteke had looks.
Yeah.
That felt real. And TFC is going to struggle because they're going to struggle out of possession. They can't really close down that well. And individually, I don't know that the defenders are good enough. And so then you get into like, you need to have the ball all the time to win. How do you create chances, though, and take risks if you need the ball all the time,
right?
Bernadeschi takes four guys on. If he loses it now, it's like a fire drill going back the other way. But he has to take on four guys to score goals. So you're like stuck in this in-between place. And he's... like he's worth the price of admission alone.
Yeah.
He's a freak. He's gigantic.
Really?
For what he does. I mean, that's just me saying.
Right. Okay,
now I gotta look up his height.
I don't know how tall he is.
But he looks, I mean, maybe it's in comparison to Insigne, and that's my problem. Let's see. They're gonna give it to me in like, he's 6'1".
Okay.
So like for a soccer player, that's pretty big. For a winger who's like, he's like a dribbler and a creator, that's pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like built. So he's impressive on his own, and I think he'll score goals and create chances. But TFC, they lost Insigne. They bring on Ayo Akinoli. They only made one more sub for the rest of the game.
They made two total, yeah.
And one was in the 30th minute. Whereas you see some teams, if they bring a guy on the 30th, they will sub him out again because like you don't really have fresh legs to be an attacking game changer at the end of the game. So this TFC team couldn't afford the injury. They got the injury that they couldn't afford in Insigne immediately. And they already didn't have enough depth. They just cut a player in Caden Chung. They don't have players to cut. I don't know where they get off cutting players.
I know Bob Bradley said something about that that he felt like the third goal was coming with the players on the pitch, so he didn't want to change anything.
Yeah, that's what I would say too if I didn't. You know what I mean? What else are you going to say? And I will say this at the start of every sentence. I think Bob Bradley is the smartest soccer person connected to the U.S.
Okay.
Either American or American connected, whatever it is. I think he's genuinely a genius about the sport.
Right.
So I don't question really him, but I don't think the pieces are there for it to be effective. And he can get water out of a stone, but at what point are we talking about? You have two of the four most expensive players in the league. They're not probably going to be cup contenders. And like that kind of has nothing to do with him, except the only one that might is his unwillingness to acknowledge Michael's age and descent or whatever
inability
you want
to
call it.
Keep up with anybody else.
And they can't protect him enough. It's tough to watch because I think Michael's a legend. And,
without a doubt, yeah.
And he built TFC, one, like besides what he did for the national team, him coming back to TFC, they had no history of success. He chose to come there. He stayed for a really long time. He brought Josie. He brought other pieces. He was part of the recruitment over and over.
Three MLS Cups in a row? What was that?
Three and four years?
Three and four,
and they won one. They won Canadian championships. They should have won a CCL. I think that's like the big that was the big loss to me of like, they should have won that game. Marky Delgado had a chance. They had PKs. And you just wish this all could be handled a little better. Mm-hmm. And we could be wrong, right? He's so smart that maybe he figures out a way to make it all work still. But it's pretty unfortunate that that's like the way it feels like it's going to go out.
And more than anything, he's just going to be remembered for not qualifying for the World Cup in 2018.
Yeah. to a lot of people.
He still gets booed
Think is why he still lives in Canada. I'm not even kidding when I say that thing happened. And I think he was like, this country sucks. I'm just going to be Toronto. I'm on Ontarian. Was that what you call it? Ontarian. Like, I'm not even American anymore.
Just remarkable. Yeah. I was worried about Sean Johnson gave up those three goals.
Yeah.
He's obviously the new goalkeeper for Toronto FC. And there was a little bit of like, I hope it was worth it. Hope it was worth it.
Oh man, you do that thing where you don't click on their Instagram to watch the video, but you like let it run through so it comes up and you're like, oh yeah, no.
Yeah.
I had steak last night too. Like I could do the same thing.
Okay, I'm watching your stories. Don't worry about it.
He just for Sean, it's just if he goes and lives there and everything costs Canadian dollars, but he's making US dollars,
right?
He's getting an increase without ever doing anything.
Oh, sure. Right.
So that's for Sean. It's just a money thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's
just a business decision.
Probably like, you know, last probably big contract. And yeah. I don't blame him. But, you know.
His is an interesting one because, again, offense to all your cities. He lived in New York.
Right.
So it's not like, oh, you know, I want to go live in Toronto and be a big. He won a title here. He lives in New York. Like, it felt somewhat of a lateral move to me. And I think maybe he just wanted something new, and that's fair. But that was the one that actually surprised me the most, more than Collins, even more than Maxi.
Okay.
I'd say of all those, because there isn't a clear reason except just doing something else that he went to TFC.
Yeah. In my opinion, he's will always be a legend at NYCFC. And like, I guess there's the moment I'm hoping for is, you know, when NYCFC opened their stadium in 2027, I don't know what player from the championship winning team could still be on the roster necessarily.
Yeah, interesting.
I don't think Sean probably wouldn't have been that person.
Yeah.
But I just want that acknowledgement for, you know, when we get a proper sized banner in that stadium.
They're just going to build the stadium as a banner just to overcorrect on it. You just show up and it's a flat stadium with the banner in the middle.
Okay, just so no more jokes, all right? But yeah, so I think Sean Johnson.
Philly got you guys on this weekend. The Eastern Conference winner thing was like 18 times the size of your championship banner.
Okay.
But that begs the question, is it worth it to hang the Eastern Conference banner, or would you rather have the small?
The small championship. I think most people would take the small championship one.
Yeah.
But I think it's a flex to be like, oh, you guys won. But we're still out here.
Our banner is still bigger.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's the Yankees. Everybody knows the Yankees are the ones that determine the size of the banner. That's what we're Mets fans. Okay.
Let's go Mets. LGM. Let's go Mets, baby. Right here. Okay. And Knicks. IQ. Brunson. Let's go.
Let's go.
It's a great time to be in New York. Always.
It's like I'm looking at my twin. All right?
Knicks tape.
We'll wrap up with a couple things. I've seen a couple questions in the chat as well, so please, I'll try my best.
I love
to get
the chat, by the way. This is the best part of doing the show.
They're crushing it.
To actually interact with people and have fun with other people.
Okay, all right. You heard it here first. David Goss says this show is more fun than Extra Time. You heard
100%. I wouldn't even question that.
That's a title. We got our title.
Yeah, that's the title.
I want to talk about this real quick because this is obviously it's also relevant to the Meadowlark family, right? So Lionel Messi is rumored to be, you know, have interest in coming to Inter Miami, obviously playing in Major League Soccer. Mike Ryan Ruiz, who has been on the show, you hear him on Le Batard Show every day. He's kind of having like a back and forth. He's been having this for the last few weeks with people who look, he's arguing with Fabrizio Romano, who is not many people.
That's the deep end. That's going straight into the deep end.
So not many people will comment on a Fabrizio tweet and be like, Fabrizio, you don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. what I heard, my birdies.
It's a little bit different than what you're hearing. But look, the last few weeks, I've been hearing that PSG are the front runners to re-sign Messi this summer. We know he's going to be a free agent, and clearly clubs are interested, the ones who can afford to pay someone like him. But Mike Ryan Reese clearly has some... he's an insider that I gotta hit him up. I'm gonna text him. Be like, yo, how you know this stuff?
And but, then he just you FaceTime him, and he's sitting next to Messi. He's like, we actually are neighbors in Paris. I fly back to Miami every day.
So Fabrizio Romano on February 3rd puts out a tweet saying, meeting in February to get the new contract signed as soon as possible. Plan confirmed already as already revealed yesterday in regards to Messi signing for PSG. Mike Ryan Ruiz quote tweets Fabrizio and says, Messi's camp is in daily communication with Inter Miami. Indications made directly to club that are that Messi remains extremely interested in Inter Miami's offer. Inter Miami, their confidence has only grown over time. So very contradictory to what Fabrizio is saying, that it's not a one horse race. Inter Miami are still in this. And I want to go back in the thread a little bit too, because Juan Arango, who is an announcer, he's on Apple TV. He covers MLS in Spanish, and I've known him on Twitter for years, but he's someone who I've never met. But he is a person on Twitter that I remember when I first started. You know, I'm a stand-up comic, so when I had to like learn about the game, I'm like, let me follow this dude because he looked like he knows what's going on.
He covers a ton of stuff.
He's a very strong advocate for like people who kind of put down soccer in like Spanish countries and stuff like that. He's always trying to make people aware of like really how popular the game is and how knowledgeable a lot of people are that are not in England and not in America and stuff like that. But then he's a person who gets in debates with people all the time. Loves and it's very entertaining to people who are not the people who are not him or the people he's arguing with. Right. So I love watching it. But then he quote tweets Mike Ryan Ruiz. He goes, again, Messi and his group have only in caps spoken to one team since the World Cup, PSG. So he's saying Mike Ryan Ruiz. Bro,
he's on the Fabrizio side.
You don't know what you're talking about.
So I'm
like,
he comes in on his side.
Juan is getting some information, and clearly Mike Ryan Ruiz is incorrect. He must not know exactly what's going on because now it's 2v1.
Yeah.
And then I go back in the thread as well. And again, Mike Ryan Ruiz is like, and again, no, he goes, quote, and again, no, you remain 100% wrong. there's a whole other debate.
He's got
as
a whole
well.
Thing going on.
I don't want to get in this mess either.
Well, it sounds like you do. You put it on the screen and you brought it up.
People can read it if they wish or whatever. But because you are more involved in Major League Soccer than I am, at least. What have you heard? Does Tom Boger know anything? Has Tom said anything to you about this even being a
Straight
possibility?
Straight to the camera here. Breaking news. Lionel Messi has signed with the Houston Dynamo for the 2023 MLS season. The ink is dry.
Let's go.
Get locked in. They don't have a DP spot, so he's going to be a TAM player. He's not even going to get paid that much. I wanted the eagle. Can we do the eagle on that one? Yeah. America. That's how it works.
Okay. So, I mean, it's going to be great seeing Messi with Hector Herrera. Yeah.
He's going to come in carrying Hector stuff like, yo, Rook, you got to carry all the balls.
What a duo.
I think Mike seems to be pretty locked in or in touch, at least on the Inter Miami side today. I would be surprised to know Fabrizio Romano sourcing with Miami. So I think what you see there is two people who have been told things on two different camps.
Right.
PSG probably believes they're the only ones talking to Messi. They're going to sign him. And Inter Miami believes that they are in the running. And clearly, by leaving the DP spot open, they believe that. Like, we don't need the proof. That's the proof there.
Gotcha.
And I don't know that there's a decision that's been made yet. I don't know Lionel Messi. Like, we haven't hung out in a while, so I don't want to speak for him.
I haven't seen him since he won the World Cup, since everything.
Yeah, which, and listen, I'm super happy for him.
Like, right. He's just been a little bit harder to reach since he lifted the World Cup trophy.
There was a time where our paths divided, and I'm doing my thing, and I'm doing well, and he's doing his thing, he's doing well. What does he have to accomplish, I guess, is the thing with PSG. Like, the question is, if he knows that it's sort of it, you'd assume the next thing will happen. What I think is positive is it does seem like Inter Miami is the only option as the other thing. He's not going to go to Saudi Arabia. He's not going to go to China. It doesn't seem like he's going back to Argentina. So I think right now it's, is he going to stay at PSG? If not, can he go back to Barcelona? And if not, it's probably Inter Miami. So I think it's more realistic than nothing, and Inter Miami, again, continues to show that they're leaving the space open for him. It's going to be a mess.
Right.
If they wait for him all year, then he comes, then they got to get him fit again, then whatever. It's going to be a shit show, and I think it's going to be the most entertaining shit show we've had in a really long time. We've done this before. I remember watching the friendly that David Beckham came off the bench against Chelsea for. He wasn't even playing in MLS yet. They followed him around, and then he didn't play for 4 more months because he was injured. And that was ESPN got their moment.
Right.
Chelsea, Beckham, Galaxy, MLS is here, and he wasn't even healthy, and it was all fake. We're going to do one of those again. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, there was I think it was on Fox. It was a Beckham documentary, Beckham to LA documentary that I saw, and it highlighted that exact moment of how all the photographers taking every photo of him, and it's him who came out for him. It was it was this dude who played for San Jose Galaxy, Colorado.
Not Otero Alvarez.
Somebody in the chat is gonna remember his name. Why am I forgetting his name?
San Jose, Sam Cronin.
No. Starts with A. Alan.
Alan Gordon.
Alan Gordon. Alan Gordon was the one.
Did Alan Gordon play for Colorado? You may have stepped in at the end. Did he play for Colorado?
He played for Colorado.
At the end?
Alan Gordon. He
played for the Chicago Fire. I don't remember him playing for the Rapids.
Alan Gordon.
Alan Gordon was signed on that Galaxy team because the concept was.
He played for both the Rapids and the Fire.
There you go. There we go. Respect.
Do you know how great I feel about that?
he lives in Colorado now.
He does.
Yeah, as a real estate guy, because that's the most MLS thing you can do is then go sell real estate afterwards or during your career, which is now a thing.
Doesn't Russell Knauss do that?
Because that's the development, we have academies now, so we're developing real estate agents at a younger age.
Somebody told me, I think it might have been Douglas in the chat who said the chant for Russell Knauss is, Knauss, he'll sell your fucking house.
That's amazing. That gets me. And then Russell's on the field with flyers the whole time. If you need a call. By the way, is DraftKings in here telling us?
Yes, DraftKings is in the chat. Said Gordo, mentioning Gordo.
Shout out our boy Hank at DraftKings.
Hey, thank you so much.
Is Hank a Rapids fan? Do we know that?
I don't know.
Gordon and Dan Kennedy's are BFFs. Yeah, Dan Kennedy, great goalkeeper in MLS. But so that concept was that Beckham would be whipping in crosses, and Alan Gordon would be just burying them.
Right.
And they were going to average 25 goals and 25 assists. And I don't know that Gordon was even on the team by the time Beckham went to Milan, went to PSG, got healthy, the whole thing happened.
Oh, sure. Not Gordon. Beckham went to Milan.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
just clarify. Yeah. With all due respect, Alan Gordon.
Alan Gordon, he did a trial there, but it just wasn't for him. he wasn't into it.
Dude. Okay. Anything else before we wrap up? Did I miss anything?
Well, teams are still signing players.
So that's right. You were mentioning.
Get locked in for that. Chicago signed a center forward while we've been sitting here.
Okay, who did they sign?
They signed a U22 Greek kid, Georgios Koustias.
Okay.
From PAOK. So he'll be the center forward.
PAOK was the owner that brought the gun on the pitch.
Yes.
Do you remember that a couple years ago?
Was it PAOK or Ike?
Oh, it was against. I think it was against the team. Yeah, I don't know which owner, but yeah, that always I always remember.
Who
that.
Is, I believe, a Russian oligarch.
Oh.
That owner. There's good. The guy who writes, James Montague, he wrote the book about the Middle Eastern soccer fans. He wrote a book about supporters.
Okay.
I think he wrote about it, and that guy's doing stuff.
Mm.
And he's got the DMs with Putin and stuff. If okay. I'm talking about the right team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, the guy who literally
if
brought
I'm not, sorry to the owner of that team.
We have an old clip where we talked about this. Probably from like 5 years ago, but we did cover this with our journalistic integrity, as we normally do. But yes, there was an owner who was mad after a result in a game.
Because of a ref.
Because of a ref, and literally has a gun in a holster, and he's on the pitch. He definitely did get in trouble, but the photos are wild of it.
It was Pauk. Realize I have a computer in front of me and I can just Google things on my Apple computer.
Okay, look at that. I'm right again.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they picked up a forward. Portland picked up a forward, Frank Boley from Fernavacos, which is a Champions League club.
Right.
29 years old, Ivorian. They've been chasing a center forward. And then SKC, it sounds like, are going to get a center back, which is beyond a need for them.
Sure.
So this is the tough part about MLS. And people always ask, like, oh, predictions, whatever. I put my predictions in 3 weeks ago. People have gotten hurt and gotten signed. The transfer window doesn't close.
It's a different league.
It is. It's from 3 weeks ago. It goes that quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot. Guys are still going to get sold too and like leave MLS. So it's really tough to like judge. But I would say for a lot of teams, like you don't know what this year is going to be still because NYCFC are going to sign guys, right? Sandy Rodriguez, we know, is coming in.
Yeah.
There'll probably more pieces that are going to come in. I think there's a number of teams that are still going to make moves. So I don't think we get so jacked up about week one and everyone sets their decisions, right? Because a lot of people watch week one more than they watch the rest of the week.
Sure, sure.
And so everyone, you know, in July, someone will be like, oh, well, NYCFC, they have a shitty midfield and this team's a mess and Vancouver can't finish. And it's like, well, that's no longer true. Because things change. So that's just one of the things to think about is like there's still a ton of moves coming. Portland, I think, is interesting. It's kind of just like, we can't get a great forward. So let's just have like seven and see if one of them works. But they have the creators.
Yumi Chara looks like, I don't know if they haven't said how serious the injury is, but it did look.
He came off 30 minutes in, which is not great. But Santiago Moreno, I'd say, is one of the better wingers in MLS. I think he's as good.
Yeah.
So they have some depth there. And then this Evander guy. Not great in the first game, but you could see it. Like, his touch is ridiculous. His vision's really good. Like, he'll create openings. But Niyosh Goda and Felipe Mora, who's been hurt, and Espria are probably equal to Boley.
Okay.
So it's like, we'll just bring in another one and see if it gets better and see if it works.
Well, yeah. I mean, as far as, a team that's consistent, to say the least. I mean, Portland, they always look like they make pretty good decisions.
Because they only sign 28-year-old international players. So, yeah, you never have to take any risks.
Yeah, Gio, he knows what he's doing when he's picking players. I think we're good.
Real quick, wanted to give a shout-out to Charlotte FC and Atlanta United for their Anton Walks TIFOs.
Yes.
Those were incredible.
Yes, because, and I had it on screen here, Atlanta United, they did do a TIFO for Anton Walk, who obviously sadly passed away in a boating accident a couple months ago. And there were a couple of things, especially this weekend. It was very emotional because every game had a moment of silence for Anton Walk. And then the media booth for every match had. Honoring Grant Wall as well, which was again, it's just it's a thing where it's again this community is obviously very small. Yeah. The soccer community, and I love seeing that. I guess again that appreciation, the gratitude to the I don't know, the people who came before us, who kind of laid the way, who paved the way for a lot of us who work in media, and Grant who. We've said this plenty of times, but Grant was unbelievably kind to us and so many others, as it was very clear after we learned after his passing that he is just one of those things. Like, he didn't have to be that nice. He didn't have to be that kind to two comedians, and was just always like, he just believed in what we were doing.
Yeah,
and kept always advocating for us and pushing for us, and so it was great to see that that acknowledgement from the league.
And like, I think it was tough for a lot of teams because they wanted to do something, and obviously it happens during the World Cup, and so there is such a big gap. And I think it was the right thing for club, like, not to forget about that, right? It wasn't like, oh well, that happened already. Like, this was the first opportunity,
right?
And we saw U.S. soccer do it during the January window, and I think there is a lot of gratitude, as you said, from clubs to Grant because of the way he covered the league and the way he covered these teams and pushed teams and gave an opportunity to a lot of people. So I thought it was really nice to see that. And the stuff with Anton, I mean, I don't really have a comparison to this. Like a guy in the prime of his life, cut down out of nowhere around the team. Like I've not been around Charlotte. I don't know how they're handling it because I don't know how you step on the field where he should be. Right. Go through warmups and go into the locker room where he was. Like, it is a lot. And I thought they handled it really, really well. And I sent a message to him, but I thought Eric Krakauer, who was on the broadcast, who knows him because he was the broadcaster along with Lloyd last year in Charlotte, thought they handled it really well too, which is, you want to celebrate that person's life, but it's also a sporting event. It's a tough space to be in. I thought they did really well. And I think from what I've been around Anton in the past and what I know of him, I think he would really have appreciated the way it went down. And it's just one of those things where Atlanta, you know, like, he wasn't on Atlanta anymore,
right.
But he was so close to that community and that fan base. And I think I've said this in the past, when they were bad and he was there, he was one of the guys who would always talk and step up to speak.
Yeah.
He knew that, one, it was our job to cover the team. So even though they were bad and everyone wants to hang their head and walk away, he would be there to talk. And I think he did the same with the fans. And I think you could see that interaction from the fans of them wanting to honor him, even though he's not on their, wasn't on their team anymore. Right. And I thought, I thought it was really beautiful and really well done. And it's going to be tough this year. Like, it's going to be tough to have that as a part of it. And my hope is that Charlotte finds a way to honor him in their play, where it is in the end something that, you know, they can strive towards for him.
I think a lot of people, me too, me included. Like, I wanted, it would have been great for them to score a goal.
Yeah, right?
It was a bummer they didn't get one. They ended up losing 1-0. But I don't know if you saw the, I guess at the memorial for Anton Walks, Andre Shinyashiki talking about him and like their friendship and stuff like that. And he was like just brought to tears. And we've had Shinyashiki on the show, and he is just such a great dude. And such a, you know, a lot of times before you interview a player, you're like, oh, I don't know exactly what to expect. And then again, we're comics. We're going to like make jokes and stuff. He was just like super down to earth, really funny, great, great guy. And hearing him talk about Anton Walks, he was comfortable being vulnerable and really just talking about what his friend meant to him. And usually when I watch Charlotte, that's like the guy I'm thinking about, because you can tell through Shinyashiki's words, like how much he meant to that locker room, how much he meant to that fan base and stuff like that. So,
and to like Shinyashiki, reminder, got traded there last, like they only played together for 6 or 7 months.
Right.
And that is from my understanding, the personality that Anton was.
Without a doubt. Okay.
Shinyashiki, by the way, made it on my wife's, who's that guy? MLS list.
Okay.
She said he has a very nice smile.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's a handsome guy.
He's a good looking dude.
Right. Another one. He's of Japanese descent, but raised in Brazil.
Yeah.
So him and, I don't know if him and Klaus know each other or something like that.
I don't think they're friends. I think he went to high school in Florida while Klaus was living in Germany. But maybe they'll get together soon.
Yeah. You know? Okay. All right. You guys are the absolute best. David, guys, thank you so much for joining me today, covering for Alexis, who couldn't make it today. Anything you want to let people know where to follow you, the whole thing, anything you want to plug, extra time, do go for it.
No, I don't want to plug extra time. I don't want to do it. No, okay. I'm just kidding.
Everybody, do not listen to extra time ever.
You should follow me on Twitter at Empire and then G-A-S-S, my last name.
I have it on screen right there.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Look at me, skydiving.
I've also skydived.
Yeah, where?
South Jersey.
Okay.
Maybe one day I'll play my skydive video.
Yeah. My video. So my video is funny. I paid for the video because I'm like, I'm never going to do this.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. Same here.
I paid for it, and I wouldn't say I'm in TV, but I'm close enough to know what things are like. My video. And if you can see my video, about 20 seconds after this cuts to the landing.
Okay.
And it's a long part of the landing. I'm pretty sure that all the footage in between, like all the parts where I'm in the sky, were not on camera. So I paid for this video, and it's like a ton of time with me on the ground before we take off, decent amount in the plane, which was not my favorite part, then very little in the sky, and then a bunch with us on the ground after. And I didn't need any of that. And so I'm pretty sure all of the footage in the middle was like very bad.
It's just, is it, does the footage exist and it was just a bad edit or?
So in thinking back, so we jumped, we did our little jump thing. Then they pull the chute.
Mm-hmm.
And then he asked me to hold something at one point, like the ropes. I'm pretty sure our stuff got messed up and he was to be chill about it, was fixing it.
Whoa.
And I think the GoPro that this is was he was holding. Uh-huh. And I don't think he held it most of the time down.
Gotcha.
And we like landed. Like,
yeah,
I'm here.
He got you there alive. He got you back
I'm here. So shout out to my guy. Nailed it. 100%. But I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Yeah, it would be worse if the footage existed, but you were not here.
I would have probably more views online.
Right. I mean, it'll be a hit.
Than what I got. So I screenshotted this out of it. I did it in Park City, Lake Tahoe.
Okay.
Because I was there on vacation. It was all my birthday.
Nice.
And I was like, I'm going to change the world. I'm going to jump out of a plane.
So I jumped.
Nice. Ken goes, that's why there are two parachutes packed. That was probably what happened.
When I jumped, it was like a third person jumping, another skydiver who was the videographer.
Oh, so then I shooting had, at you.
Yeah.
So you got the full package.
So I got the whole
you
deal.
You did the upgrade.
Was that offered to you and you didn't take
that
it?
Was okay. Not okay. The offer was pictures or video, and or both. And right. I was like, well, I know how to screenshot. So why do I need the picture? The picture is just still shots of the video. So no, that was not offered. I jumped with my friend, and I guess they could have shot each other, but he was more experienced than me, so they moved fast and did like moves and stuff.
Gotcha.
And I didn't do anything because I was pretty scared.
No, I think when I skydived, it was a turning point in my life. I think after I went skydiving, I said, that's the scariest thing I'll ever do. Mm. And then like probably six months later, roughly, I started doing stand-up comedy.
Wow.
And I was like, because I was always afraid to do it.
Yeah.
And then once I did it, I'm like,
how old were you?
23,
okay,
24, something like that, changed my life, and then I went into every kind of thing I was doing with like if I was feeling afraid of it, I'm like, I went skydiving, bro. Like, I mean,
interesting. So I respect that, and I kind of thought that happened for me, and now I'm the same person. I feel like I missed out. The thing about skydiving that I was always open to was you only need one moment of bravery.
Okay.
Because once you're at the plane, you can't go back. Mm-hmm. I don't like the climb this ladder, then walk on this ledge where the whole time you could turn around and be scared because then I will at some point. This one, it was like, once we got in that plane, I didn't really have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we rolled out, I wasn't going anywhere else. And I have not found that it has helped me in life as well.
Okay.
As you. Maybe we should go skydiving again together.
Bro, you could be strapped to me.
Yeah. You could be my guy. But there's a place, so I go out on Long Island a lot, and there's a place that does it, and they have a billboard.
Mm-hmm.
And every time without fail, we drive by, and I say to my wife, should we go skydiving this weekend? And she says, no. This is my friend who has been skydiving. We were driving, and the billboard was up. And I said, should we go skydiving? And he said, yeah. And I was like, I shouldn't have. The whole time where he was like, we don't have to. We can if you want to. And I was like, I should have realized. Like, I needed the person that always is going to say no to be like, no.
Yeah. It's like, you're not following the script.
Yeah,
You're supposed to say no. Matt Graham in the chat just said, after I skydived, and it said, and then it was Christian's wedding night. Well put.
Amazing.
Yeah, much less fearful. All right.
Did think you were going to say you got engaged.
No.
6 months later.
No.
I thought that was going to be your moment of bravery.
I got engaged. Whoa.
Oh, yeah. You took my wedding, by the way.
I took your wedding.
Yeah. You did a Dumbo wedding.
I did.
Yeah. I live near there.
Okay, okay.
And we thought we were going to do a whole thing. And then I saw yours and I was like, I can't afford that. So we can't do it here. We got to go somewhere else. So we did Red Hook instead.
That's
the cheap version.
That's why you need to hit the subscribe button here on YouTube.
Exactly.
Okay? We're here to try to recoup the money spent on that wedding, everybody.
Look great. Go ahead. I was nearby. Didn't get invited.
It was lovely.
Look great.
I mean, now we're cool.
Yeah. Nice.
Before, I had no idea.
You should do it again and invite me that time.
Okay. A little re-wedding. All right. All right, everybody. Let's wrap up. David Goss, thank you so much for joining me. Shout out.
Thank you.
I absolutely crushed it. Great first week in MLS. Go check out Extra Time. Follow David Goss on Twitter @EmpireGoss, GASS. Follow us at Soccer Cooligans wherever you have social media. It's a prison. We're never getting out of it. Let's all experience it together.
Clearly, you're a fan.
No, it gets addictive, yeah, and all that other stuff. You know. Follow us. Join the Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooligans. But we got some fun stuff coming soon on there, and a lot to look forward to. All right, everybody, y'all are the absolute best. I will see you next week, everybody. Peace.